So I'm recording this for you because it's the exact thing that I wish that I had when I was first starting out. I really wish someone would have shared this with me, what they did to transform their identity and shift their money story so that I could really take what resonated, what I needed. And of course, there's so much that I can share. I'm going to try and keep as concise as possible, but I'm going to give you the three strategies that really did work for me. I'm Lori Kennedy, former nutritionist turned business coach of a multi seven-figure online business on a mission to bring together a global community of practitioners and coaches who want to create impact and abundance by transforming lives. It wasn't all that long ago that I was struggling to get my practice off the ground because I lacked the clarity, confidence, and know-how I needed to get clients and get them results. It wasn't until I made some radical shifts in my mindset and committed to acquiring the skills needed that I was able to move forward feeling empowered and equipped to handle all that comes along with growing a small and life-changing business. I created the Empowered Practitioner podcast because I operate under the mantra, you can't model what you don't see. And so you'll be getting the simple, no fluff, step-by-step strategies that work to help you build the business and life of your dreams, all on your own terms. So if you're a practitioner or coach committed to using your professional training and personal experience to transform lives, you are most definitely in the right place. So let's get started. I should obviously disclose, I'm not like a therapist. I'm not a money expert person. I don't coach on money stories. I'm not a life coach. I am just someone who has overcome a tremendous amount of fear and resistance towards becoming wealthy. I was so terrified that no one would like me anymore, that I'd be alone, that people would think that I was so full of myself, that I was ostentatious, that I was too much, that I was, you know, I was bullied in high school for literally just being myself. And that definitely stuck with me. I was also in a marriage where it really wasn't safe for me to be myself and to stand in my power. And for years after my divorce, I had to undo all of those learned behaviors that I adopted in order to function. And I also feel it's extremely important to disclose my privilege. I am white, I am able-bodied, and yes, that absolutely matters in terms of starting off with unearned privilege. I grew up in a safe and moderately wealthy suburb in an upper middle class family full of love and support. And it's important for me to share that because I recognize that I don't have to deal with any of the racial or cultural or disability bias, and of course that matters. So now, let's talk about money. So it doesn't matter if the goal is $100,000 or $1 million. Who you are today probably has some feelings around being the person that makes the most money. Am I right? Maybe you don't feel deserving because you've been taught to just be grateful for what you have. Or you're nervous about being that person who makes more than everybody else or making more than your spouse and, you know, what they're going to think of you when you become successful and you won't have time to be that good mother, friend, wife, partner, whatever. We all have so many worries, so many what ifs. And I got to a point where I was sick of my own bullshit. I didn't want to dwell on the stories anymore, and I understood enough to know that if I think one thing, I can think something else. And so I just decided one day, you know what, I'm going to make up a better story for myself that is in line with my goals. And so spoilers, you can just decide not to think what you think or believe what you believe anymore. It's that can happen. I just decided that I was no longer going to believe that if and when I made more money, that I would be less liked, that I would be alone. I just decided that wasn't going to be in my frame of reference anymore. And so the strategies that I'm going to share with you now are really the most helpful ones that I experienced and the most powerful ones that I experienced in terms of shifting my identity and shifting the way that I felt and feel about money. Because for certain, I needed to reframe my belief system, my identity around wealth and being rich and what that all meant. So take what resonates, leave the rest. Strategy number one, the first thing that I had to do, because I am very, I am a highly sensitive empath. I also have a lot of trauma in my life. So I feel everything. I am not logical. I go with my instincts. I go with my gut. And I feel everything. So I had to normalize the feeling of being rich in my body. I had to normalize the feeling of being someone whose business made $100,000. That was the first goal. I had to normalize the feeling in my body and normalize, and let me add, neutralize. I had to neutralize the feeling so that there was no feeling. Because money is money. Money doesn't have feelings. A dollar bill doesn't have any feelings. It's energy, it's currency, right? You give me a dollar and I give you something in return. We assign value, we assign feelings. A dollar is worth a dollar, right? In US, a dollar is worth a dollar, and a US dollar in Canada is worth $1.30. It's currency, right? It's energy. And so I had to normalize and neutralize the discomfort within my body. And the way that I did that was I repeated to myself for years, my business made $100,000. How's your business doing? Oh, it's good. It made $100,000 this year. And I had to say it over and over and over again. I wrote it down as if it already happened. My business made $100,000 this year. My business made $100,000 this year. And the more I did it, the more neutral it became. Until it just, it rolled off my tongue. It wasn't a big deal. I didn't get that like weird heebie-jeeb feeling in the pit of my stomach. I wasn't judging myself. Like I had to neutralize the belief around could I, couldn't I, is that a lot, is it a little? There's all these beliefs, there's all these stories. You know, on one hand, you have somebody who's like, oh my God, I made $100,000. And on the other hand, they're like, that's it. So there's like all these stories around it, right? So I had to normalize the feeling in my body. That was goal number one. And until I did that, I couldn't really do much else, because anytime I would think about it or write it down or do anything, I would get that discomfort in my stomach, right? In my stomach. So that's goal strategy number one. Strategy number two followed strategy number one, which was normalizing and neutralizing being rich in my external environment. And even as I say the word rich, I want you to notice how it feels in your body to receive that word. Rich and wealthy. What does it feel like in your body, right? You got to neutralize it. So in my environment, I had to neutralize, I had to normalize and neutralize the idea of being wealthy, what that looked like from an environmental perspective. And the best way that I can describe it is I'll tell you two stories. The first story is when I moved into the house that I currently live in, which is like a nice size house. I'm a single mom with two kids. I live in, you know, the suburbs. I have a 2-car garage. My house is probably about, I don't know, 2,500 square feet. I also have a finished basement, 2,600 square feet, like 3 bedrooms. Like it's a good house. And I remember my friend coming over. And we were talking about, you know, it was the summer, it was the first summer, and I was so excited, but I had to find somebody to mow my lawn. And she looked at me, and like at this point, the business was already doing $500,000, and I could afford, you know, I could afford somebody to mow my lawn. And she looked at me, and she goes, "You're so fancy." And just the way she said it, I was like, oh, you're judging me. Like, you're judging me, you know, for doing that. And I actually had somebody over to my house, I had a man over to my house, and it was snowing. This was recently. And he was like, oh, you need to get your kids to shovel your driveway. And I said, no, my snow company, will, you know, it was nighttime. So I was like, no, they'll get to it before 5 a.m. And he looked at me and he's like, you have like snow removal. Like you pay somebody to remove your snow. Like you have kids. And I was like, yeah, I'm not trusting them to do it. Like, of course I'm paying somebody to remove, like, of course I'm, and literally the words coming out of my mouth, of course I'm paying somebody to remove my snow. Why are you shoveling it yourself? Like, that's a waste of fucking time, you know? Like, why are you doing that? So, and he just looked at me and I was like, oh, this isn't going to work out. And I knew immediately that it wasn't going to work out because it was a different value system, which is fair enough. But I had worked really, really hard to normalize and neutralize the frivolous, or whatever you want to call it, things in my environment. Having a cleaning service, having somebody mow my lawn, shovel the snow, grocery delivery, having somebody else cook my meals that isn't done by me, normalizing it in your environment, right? And it might even be something as, you know, thinking about it differently or planning to hire somebody. Another example that I can give you is when I joined a mastermind years ago, this was maybe like 2018, so quite a bit ago, but it was the first time that I had went to this event, this mastermind event, and it was in California, and it was a bunch of like actual proper social media influencers. And they were talking about having a house manager. And I was like, a house manager? I was like, what's a house manager? And they looked at me and they're like, you don't have a house manager? And I understood the idea of normalizing success for myself in that moment. Because for them, that level of operating, that level of success was them having a house manager. And it just was a very normal thing that I then was the abnormal one because I didn't have one. And they're like, well, who like manages your house and like all the people? And I said, I do. Same thing. They're like, well, that's a waste of your time. Right? Same thing that I would say to somebody else about the snow removal or the cleaning. It's a waste of your time, right? There's an opportunity cost for everything. Like, why are you doing that? Right? And so normalizing this level of operating in your environment, because there is an opportunity cost for everything. So when you take 6 hours once a week to clean your home, and yet you could be generating in those 6 hours, let's say you had 3 sales calls, you know, and you charge $1,500, you can make $4,500 or more in those 6 hours. But yet you choose to then go and clean your home, and you can say you like it and you can say all of those things, except that when you are operating at a certain level, when you are reaching to hit certain goals, you have to start assessing opportunity costs. Right? You have to start thinking about it like this. And so normalizing being wealthy, normalizing changing what you do on a daily basis became my second strategy, where I slowly started to delegate, I should say hire and delegate, the types of things that somebody else could very easily do for me, so that I could then continue to not only help them and pay them, which contributes to their betterment and family and all of those things, but so that I could get my business ahead. And I normalized it for myself in my own environment. And then number 3, this is a really interesting one, and this speaks, I think, more to your identity. But if you've never made more than, let's just say, $60,000 a year, you are operating, you are making decisions as $60,000 Pam, not $1 million Pam, because you don't know what $1 million Pam is like, right? You've never been $1 million Pam. So what I want you to start thinking about is, are you making decisions, and is your perspective coming from $60,000 Pam identity? Or are you able to recognize that you are making decisions as $60,000 Pam and say, what would $1 million Pam do? How would $1 million Pam address this problem or this decision, right? Making decisions from your limited capacity. And by limited, I'm not negative. There's a limitation on your perspective and your perception. And yeah, at $60,000, right? When all you've known is lack and scarcity and self-doubt, you know, it's really hard to get yourself out of that. And I want to validate that. Like, it's really hard, except that you can. Like, you can. And so it starts with just at the very least accepting that you are $60,000 Pam right now, and that your decisions are being made as $60,000 Pam, but you want to be making decisions as $1 million Pam. And so what would $1 million Pam, What skills does $1 million Pam need? What traits does $1 million Pam need? What does $1 million Pam's day look like? And start implementing these things into your life now. And that's how you start to reframe your identity. And that's how you start to reframe your belief around money. Because it becomes very different when you normalize and neutralize it in your body, in your environment, and in your identity. So I hope these strategies help you. I hope they at least give you some food for thought. Take what resonates, leave the rest. Let me know if any of what I just said resonated with you, what resonated with you, and which strategy you feel you're going to start with.